Mr. Weeks, reel 5.
Were components of the regulating branch on duty during the night as well as during the day?
Yes. You have, on the average, 4 RPOs on a ship, of which are divided into 4 duties, daily duties, you see, and you'd become duty RPO during the night. But the master-at-arms is always on duty unless he's on shore. So that at any time when the duty RPO has got a case which he wants the master-at-arms help as well, he just goes along and gets him, you see, or sends for him. Well, in the case of the duty RPO's duties, he's responsible for all men going ashore that they are properly addressed. So they form a liberty boat, say at 4, 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
What kind of things would you be on the lookout for when you were doing that
Properly
check? Yeah,
dressed.
well, what kind of
The
things?
officer of the day would then, I would look out, that I would get the men all fallen in, and I would give them a general, well, they would hand in their cards, their liberty cards, etc. So I would add them all in, and then they would all be fallen in ready for inspection. As soon as they were fallen in, I would take a casual check round, see everything as I thought was more or less correct.
And what kind of things would you be looking out
I would
for?
look for the silk, lanyard properly worn and everything, the collar, and that every man was in the rig of the day that was piped, whether ones, twos, or ordinary dress, see. But these days, there's no, that's all finished with.
Yeah. Well, what kind of things might you spot that would be against regulation that you would pull up?
In the case which I would pull up would be that I might find that his jumper is a bit on the long side, and it's not a service dress. Probably got he's bought one ashore, you see, which what we call tiddly, you see, and he was trying to get ashore with that on. Well, if I noticed things like that, he wouldn't be seen by the officer of the day. I would say, "Wait, out! You've got a shore suit on there, which you know the officer of the day won't pass."
So you'd deal with that
So
yourself, yeah.
I would either send him off, but if he wished to carry on, well, I'd let it go to the officer of the day, and then
This is the kind of thing I'm particularly interested in. Any other things that you'd be keeping an eye out for?
yeah. Well, in the case of see, the collars are probably clean and things like that. That he's had a shave before going ashore. If he's a non-shaven fellow, that his beard was more or less cut, trimmed, and things like that, which the officer of the day would pick up. And with the question in general, you more or less made it okay for the officer of the day to get him away quick.
Would you check how his bow was tied and on his silk and things like
Well,
that?
that would automatically come with the silk, you see. That his bow was correctly tied, that his lanyard was properly put round there, and that it was clean. That he was generally clean and things. And that if he had any parcels, I would ask him what it was for. If I had my doubts, I'd ask him what he got in it and open it up, if it was okay, right there, things like that. That was all done before the officer of the day, before I took him out.
What would you have in mind that if you saw someone with a parcel, what
Well,
might you
what
be
you
checking
chiefly
for?
looked out for was tobacco, because you had more or less the cheap tobacco, cigarettes and things like that. Well, if he'd got more than one or, oh, well, a packet of 20 was the maximum. If he got 2 tens, that was good enough. Packet of 20, no more. If he got any tobacco on, he was only allowed a pooch in his pooch. Well, if he had more than an ounce of tobacco, which was more or less the, well, say, if his pooch was loaded with a pound of it in there, he didn't take it ashore. And also was charged with trying to land contraband, you see, tobacco. Well,
Did you ever come across any of that?
oh, you got that.
Yeah.
Yes, you did have that.
Any serious cases?
No, you might have a fellow trying to get his father-in-law or his father extra packet of 20 or something like that. And he got it tucked down his wassam or wassam. But you looked for the bulge or things in his uniform or things like that.
What are people saving up their tots? Was that?
Oh yes, you also look for rum or anything like that, and then see that they hadn't had a tot before they went to. If you had any doubts about a man, like who might have had a tot before he went ashore, you'd talk to him and you'd automatically whiff it. Well, at 4 o'clock, a seaman would have had his tot watered, that it wouldn't be all that strong, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you'd ask him where he got it from. Sort of things like that.
Yes.
But you very seldom found it.
Yeah. Did the regulating branch have any authority over the issuing of leave passes?
We were the only ones who could issue leave passes.
Yeah.
They had cards, you see. Now, if he was going on weekend leave or over an ordinary night leave, he would put an application through the officer of the day and the commander for that length of leave to be extended. And the master-at-arms staff would then issue him with a liberty ticket covering that period. So that any other time he would have to be back on board, but time leave was piped and expiring, you see. Without that pass, he couldn't overstay his leave.
Yeah. So the master-at-arms is a pretty powerful fellow aboard ship.
He definitely is.
Yeah, he could control whether people have...
I should place it in capacity that the master-at-arms is the second captain. Mm. The captain relies on a good master-at-arms, but he's got the commander as his second. So therefore, the captain, the commander and the master-at-arms are like that, on top of one another. Mm. And the captain rests on their being straight on the point. That the master-at-arms can either, as you say, be a bee or can make it a happy ship.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to some sailors who said that they'd met ship's police who, you know, you had to give them a backhander to get a leave chit.
Well, I have heard, but I started off with a resolution when I was in the started it off. And I saw cases of where it had occurred and the trouble it went to was saying that the master-at-arms or RPO, if ever they did anything like that, they suffered the consequence, same as a rating for having passed it. That there was so much trouble that if you gave an open mind and you saw anything, that you made it known to them that you would be inspected before going ashore and things like that.
Yes.
And if they knew that you was okay with them, they were okay with you.
Mm. Yeah, well, you always get the rogues in any branch.
Well, you do, yes.
Yeah, sure. And I've not come across very many of them, I must say. Another thing I've heard of, and I don't know if you ever came across this, was that on clothing checks, the actual entries by which sailors had to purchase a new item of equipment, you know, you could sort of, well, half a dollar and I won't put that you need a new whatever it is.
Well, I think that the situation is that such the rating, if he says pass half a dollar, you know, he says tips the RPO off half a dollar. The seaman petty officer also checks it as well, so that the passing it off the dog just can't be done.
Mm.
Unless he also is in the swim with the RPO.
Yeah.
Because the kit is mustered by the seaman petty officer in charge of the seaman's mess, whoever's been checked, you see. He's responsible that it's clean and things like that before we take over.
Good.
Where it helped to show how you help the people who want, well, the people who are working drafts out to get them to ships and things in general.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm talking now of the Ile-de-France, the trooper Ile-de-France. She came down from the Middle East and was heading for home, and we had to go down to Cape Town, up round through to Tristan da Cunha, across to Buenos Aires, Sierra Leone, and across to Canada, and zigzag sort of business. We were on our own. When we never had this? Nobody with us.
Yeah, when was this?
The end of the war. End of my trip in Aden. That was 1943.
I see, yeah.
Well, how it all happened was that the Commodore sent for me, and he said, Master, he says, you're going to lose your command. Because out there, we had no officers in charge of the camp, and I had 95 ratings, and I was in sole command of HMS Sheba camp, you see. So it was Commodore Larkham, and he says, Master, he says, I want you in my office such and such a time. He says, I have a surprise for you. So I assembled there, and he says, you're being promoted to Warrant Master at Arms on your arrival in UK. He says, I'm to get you to UK as soon as possible. There's the trooper coming down from the Middle East, the Ile-de-France, picking up so many people in Aden, and you're away on that boat. He says, now, can give you a first-class passage. She's a liner, like the Kiwi type. And he says, all you've got to do is sit in the deck chair and enjoy life and have a nice drink on the way home. Nothing to worry about. Oh, thank you very much. And I said, when am I getting made? He says, well, you get made on the day you arrive in England. He says, and you won't have nothing whatsoever to do. So just sit back and have a nice passage. He says, and I'm thoroughly pleased with the way you've managed things here. You've been in charge of the camp on your own, and you've also worked in splendid cooperation with the RAF, mail office as well, naval mail office and that, that I just couldn't do wrong there. And then when it came to say goodbye, after I was relieved by another master arms out from England, I got aboard the Ile-de-France, and as I'm steaming up the ladder, which is one of these big high ones, you see, the naval commander on board, in charge of a naval draft, met me at the gangway. So he says, what's your name? So I told him. He says, you're a master at arms too, eh? So I said, yes, I'm heading for UK. He said, all right, come to my cabin. And with that, he handed me all the draft notes of everybody on board. I said, good God. I said, how many you got aboard here then? He said, tell you the truth, Master, I just don't know. He said, I've got the draft notes. We loaded them on board at Suez and came through the Red Sea and we got here. And all we've had a chance is get them in messes. And all the seaman petty officers and chief petty officers have done their stuff. They've been very good. I said, have they been mustered by the draft notes? Oh, we haven't had time for that at all. I said, do you know you've got everybody? So he said, well, I think we have. They've reassured me that they got all the allocations. They had their number given them, like, and when they totaled them up, it tallied. I said, would you mind telling me how many there is on board? Oh, he says, well, just a few. I says, how much is your few? On a big and light there. He says, 1,650. I said, what, Navy? He says, yes, I'm afraid so. He says, at the moment, all we've got is that they're in messes. And they're out of a mess. He said, but you're a master at arms. He said, that's yours. Remember the words of the Commodore, what he said.
Just sitting in the deck
chair. I said, look, I came aboard here to sit on board and have a splendid time, because I made it for promotion to Warrant Master at Arms on arriving in UK. He said, well, now's your chance to prove it. So with it, he said, you've got heaps of time to do it. So it took us 6 weeks to get to Glasgow. Mm. During that 6 weeks, I got all the chief petty officers, give them all odds and ends bits of paper to give me all particulars of each man in each mess. And with that, I made them check all the draft notes with the names of people on board. And do you know what? They were all correct bar for one. So I checked and checked, looked through the draft notes, and then I found that there wasn't one prisoner wanted for murder in UK who was for Wormwood Scrubs. The RAF had got him. So at any rate, eventually when I got amongst the officers, I found out the officer concerned who was in charge with the RAF of this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out his name was Lieutenant Seaman, RNVR. So I said, well, Beans, you've got him now till you arrive UK. He's yours. He says, right, thanks, Master, I'll have it. So I had no more for worry with him till I got to Glasgow. At any rate, I got all the draft notes and everything dovetailed in their depots, and then I found out that there was a hell of a lot of them were prisoners of war who Italy had, when she capitulated, had handed them all back to us.
Oh, I see.
Well, with that, I had to glean from the individuals where they were captured, what ship they were captured from, how long they'd been in captivity and everything, of which I made a note attached to the draft note of all particulars.
Mm-hmm.
And then I followed them, and I had heaps of time, 6 weeks to do it. And I had all the staff, chief petty officers, helping me. And when we got to the Buenos Aires, they wanted to give leave. So the leave question came on.